So how did you get involved with all this work?
Well, I first heard Nazir at an ethnomusicology conference after, this was in 1973 when I was in my first semester of graduate school for the PhD in ethnomusicology. And
at UCLA?
No, that was at Brown University.
Okay.
So I was introduced to him with the other graduate students by my advisor, Bonnie Wade, who was North Indian music. And then I heard him deliver most of his talk called How Indian is Indian Film Music.
Yes, I know about this talk, yes.
You do?
I've read about it and and how revolutionary it was at that time because Bollywood was not considered anything.
It was radical, you know, and I was so excited to hear this, this revered professor, lowering his dignity to the extent that he would talk about Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star from, Purab Urpashchim, and play those examples. And it was just so, it was revolutionary. No one had ever talked about film music in the society before, so it was really something. And the next year, I was hired by the Smithsonian to work with him on the field work for the 1976 Festival of American Folklife. And my job was to do field work in the eastern United States amongst Indian American communities, while he was doing similar things in the Chicago, Windsor area, and in India. So he was selecting groups in India to come and meet with Indian American groups to show that the old ways were continuing in the new world. So we presented them together on the Mall in 1976 after all of that field work. And then I toured with the whole group, the whole tour, through the eastern United States, up to Chicago, I think. And then they went back to India. And I went on to India for the first time. I just had my Tamil training completed. So I went to Madras for my dissertation work. And
why did you choose Madras?
Well,
why
because
did you choose Carnatic music?
I had chosen it because I was interested in the vocal aspect and the poetic aspect of the devotional texts. You know, I was a trained singer in Western music, and I was interested in the parallel of devotional music.
So you always play the piano?
Piano, but voice was my main, for my master's degree at Yale, was in singing. And so
you came to India?
Yeah, I came to Madras, and the whole idea was that I would be able to sing, things of interest to Madras Wallahs. So I had programs on All India Radio and mostly English language things, but some French and German, and gave concerts. And Handel Manuel was my pianist. We had a very nice collaboration. But as soon as I had arrived, within a few months, I got a call from Nazir because he was in Delhi, and he wanted to meet. So he came to Madras, and we talked about possibly visiting some of the groups that we had worked with in the festival, the Rajasthanis especially, the Manganiars and Langas, because they had invited us. We were certainly the first foreigners to be in those villages under those auspices of the Manganiars.
So when you say we were the first foreigners, you think Nazir
Nazir
also a foreigner?
Well,
things I wanted to ask. I'm asking this for you.
That's how they,
what do you think? He worked all his life with Indian music, but was he an outsider to it? Not in the sense that, he can become an insider to the music, but he can still remain an outsider in the sense that he has another identity.
Yeah, he was both. He was an inside-outer, that's the way someone called him. So,
if you look at all the, say, about 50, 60 years between Bach's work and your own work.
Well, Bach had
the perception, the way a scholar would deal with her subject, and the way the subject would receive the scholar. Mm-hmm. I mean, there have been differences.
Well, you know, Bach never went to Rajasthan, first of all, and that was supposed to be part of the musical journey, but had to be curtailed because of family problems back in England. So this was an opportunity that Nazir really wanted to avail himself of for the Smithsonian to complete that portion of his mission with Bach.